Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Blogger News on the Radio. My name is Simon Barrett, and I'll be your host for the next 60 minutes. This is another in our ongoing series, The News in Review. Once again, this week, we will be zeroing in on the ongoing story surrounding the death of Florida tot Kaylee Anthony. Joining me in the studio is my wife and BNN's expert on the case, Jan. Hi, Jan.
Hi, everyone.
And from the wilds of Oregon, hopefully the snow has melted, our regular contributor, Ms. Pickles. Hi, Pickles.
Hello. Snow's gone.
Hey, Pickles.
Hi.
Once again, Sean Krause cannot be with us. Sean, if you're listening in, we do send our best wishes, and we hope you have a very speedy recovery. As you know, we broadcast our shows on Blog Talk Radio out of New York. It's a great service, and likely the most well-known name in ground roots internet radio. They host thousands of shows, and many internet radio personalities call Blog Talk Radio their home. Last night, I was exploring their homepage and discovered that in the news category, this program, The News in Reviews, is their top-rated show. Wow. And we have our listeners to thank for that. And on that note, our switchboard is open, and we can take your calls at area code 646-378-1120. And we're waiting for your comments and questions about the very strange Kaylee Anthony case. My wife, Jan, is feeling a little under the weather today. She's got a bad attack of the cold, or maybe it's the flu. So I agreed to cut her some slack. So, Pickles, you're going to be my opening victim.
That's cool.
In the timeline, this is old news. But this week, the cops released a raft of more jailhouse videos in which Casey plays the part of victim. Your thoughts?
Oh, yeah. She has to be victimized to her parents, I think, to get any type of to get them to be on her side. Or maybe it's just her what she feels she has to do.
I think she really feels like she's the victim here.
Well, for Pete's sakes, I didn't see the tapes, but I heard about it, because sometimes I just can't bring myself to watch her because of the lack of concern for her child's life being gone at her hands.
All she says is, it's all her.
Oh, of course.
It's like she's convinced herself that she is literally the victim here, or at least a victim, and she wants them to think the same thing, in which I'd like to just take Cindy and George and just slap them and tell them, wake up, this is your kid, do something with her and quit babying her. Because that's what's wrong with her now, because she knows how to work them.
Exactly.
And it's very obvious she knows just how to work them, and it just makes me so irritated. So
she has to be victimized in their eyes for them to support her. But the way they support her is just kind of strange. It's just all, I don't think any of it's real what they say. I think that if for her to be a victim, though, it has to be that way for them to support her.
There was a few things in that video that really got to me. One basically was when her dad told her she's the boss. And he kept telling her she's the boss. And she said, not anymore. I'm not the boss here. So, I mean, that what does that tell you? I mean, apparently.
See, they're all in on something. Why would she be the boss? Why would he be admitting that?
This is what he told her, and she told him, I'm not the boss here.
Of course not, because they have her in jail.
But that's my point. And then he tells her to pretend that the sheriff's department, that Jose, him, her mother, and Lee all work for her. They have to listen to what she says. This is what he tells her in jail. I mean, and I'm like, what is he saying to her? Is he crazy?
I heard she threw a temper.
Oh, she did. Oh, yes, she did. All because Cindy's asking her, telling her they need to know they need answers. And she gets so frustrated. She says, that's it. She said she's never been mad like this before. The whole time she sat in her jail room, she wasn't mad, but now she is. And, I mean, it's like every time you mention we've got to find Kaylee, she blew up. And, I mean, you just don't do that.
Okay. This didn't take long at all. We already have a caller coming in from the 620 area code. What's your name and what's your question for us?
Hi. My screen name's Sheller.
Okay.
Yay.
Hi, Pickles. I have watched the video. And my question is, those parents don't behave like any parents I have seen. They don't talk to her like a normal parent would talk to their children. While when George was talking to her and she was sort of gracing her presence by saying, you know, I chose you to be the one to talk to, he thanked her like...
Yeah, like it was an honor for him.
Like he was getting an award or something.
Right.
Like, thanks, gorgeous.
Thank
I love
so
you.
And thank you so much for choosing me. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
She did say something to the fact about that he was the one that she was distanced from the most, or something to that effect.
Yes.
In other words, like they hadn't been getting along, so she felt like she wanted to spend time with him or something. I don't know.
And I think it's because he saw through her act a lot quicker than the mother did.
Well,
yeah, she had to work on him.
Yeah.
He was really close to Kaylee, too, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was, but I still think it was for her own selfish reasons.
Oh, of course.
So, but, yeah, I did catch all that, too.
I had another question. In that conversation, not in that conversation, but on July 25th, after I heard that one where she kind of went nuts, I went back and listened to the July 25th one.
Uh-huh.
And knowing what we know now, I listened to it with a better ear because in one part, George says, we really need to get you out of here as quickly as we can because the longer this takes, the more likely they are to bring up other stuff and everyone might get a hit. And I just wondered if you had listened to that and how you interpreted that.
I don't remember that part.
I think the interpretation is fairly simple.
It's kind of obvious.
Yeah, right.
But I don't remember hearing that. I'm trying to remember. I listened to so many. That's the only thing bad about it, because you listen to so many of them, you get them all.
I understand. Yeah.
Well, him saying that just makes me think exactly what I've been thinking, that they're all involved in this.
Well, I've said from the beginning that I think they all are. I don't think they were part of killing Kaylee. I think they were part afterwards when Casey was panicking because she didn't know what to do. And I think when she told them what she did, they had to all work together to cover it up. I've always said that. I mean, I'll really be surprised now. I know there were times in this. I think she didn't know about it. Well, it's hard to tell because the way you look at them, at George and Cindy in these jailhouse visits, you think that they're sincere, but then again, you don't know exactly how much they do know. And I don't know if they actually believed it at the time, but I know at one point or another, Casey's told them the truth.
Okay, that was a really great couple of questions. Let's move on. We have another caller from the 631 area code. Hello, what's your name, and what's your question for our illustrious panel?
My name is Beyond Frustrated on your blog, and I wanted to comment on why George was saying what he said. I think the reason why is because Casey was refusing to see her family, and her family took the opportunity when Baez was in New York to finally get a visit with her. And I think George was trying to say to her, you can speak to whoever you want to speak to, you can tell us anything that you want to tell us, because I feel that her attorney was telling her not to speak to her family.
She did say that she wasn't supposed to be taking their visit.
Exactly, and I think they were trying to appeal to her to give them something, because I have to tell you, watching that video and seeing Cindy say to Casey, we know that you're okay, we know where you are, we don't know where Kaylee is, we don't know if she's okay, and it was heartbreaking because Casey just started arguing with her and saying, you don't know that I'm okay, you know where I am, but I'm not okay, and her baby was missing.
Right.
It was just really unbelievable how little she cared about a baby. No one knows where the baby is. She's a grown woman.
She even said that she was focused on her because that was all she could focus on. And then she changed it real quick. Said when they said something about Kaylee, they had to be focused on Kaylee. She said, well, even if I was, well, I am, is what she changed it to. She said, even if I was, and then she said, but I am focusing on Kaylee. And then she changes it. She catches herself just as she says something. She hurries up and changes it. She thinks she's being very clever, but, I mean, you can read between the lines here and see that she just doesn't care about anybody but herself.
Well, she also seemed very jealous, I think, that she was talking about her parents and the day of Kaylee's birthday, and that her mother had made a meal and
the chili.
She said to her mother, I heard you had a party and I heard you cooked and you all had each other.
She sounded like she was jealous because she was having visitors over at the house.
And
because she said y'all were having a house full of people.
Exactly. And when Cindy said, oh, you know, people have been sending gifts, Casey was jealous. She was jealous that people were celebrating, or that's the wrong word, but acknowledging the date of her daughter's birthday and not paying attention to her. And I just,
right.
I've never witnessed anyone completely not care. I mean, even if it wasn't your daughter, if it was another person's baby that was missing, she just is not worried at all. There's no panic. There's nothing. She just really doesn't care. And
Not even after they found Kaylee.
Nope.
She has no emotions at all towards it. She never has showed her emotions. The only time she's ever showed emotions with tears is for herself.
Yes.
I mean, if you think about it, when she was out of jail, whenever they put her in jail the first time, she went in, they found that she wasn't going to be able to get out on bail. She cried. Whenever the grand jury came in with the indictment and they said that she was going to have to go back to jail, she cried. But that was the only time you've seen her cry, other than these jailhouse visits, and that's because she's stuck behind bars with nothing to do.
She didn't even cry at the hearing discussing the pictures of the remains.
No, she didn't.
She doesn't care about anything. That's why I absolutely usually refuse to not watch her, because hearing her voice answer questions about her daughter, it's just so, like, I don't know what it does, but I just can't. The lack of concern from the loss of her daughter's life and the fact that she killed her daughter, just it not being there, just drives me crazy. How can she do that?
It's driving me crazy, too, but I have to listen to as much as I can because I have to report on it, but it's not easy because that feeling goes up and down my spine when I hear her talk. And when I seen her in that video when she blew up with her parents, I mean, it just made me so mad at her. But, I mean, you know, there's just not much.
Well, that's good that video is there, though, because if they show that to the jurors, she can snap.
Well, she
look
even
at her.
Said in the video that the media is going to have a freaking field day now.
Well, it's good. Well, you know, because they need to see that, yes, she can snap. She is not this calm and cool and collected.
Right.
She can snap, and she did.
Right.
Oh, okay, I'm going to break in here and introduce another caller. Someone coming in from the 251 area code. What's your name and what's your question for our panel?
Hi, I'm Linda. I had called earlier.
Oh,
hey,
Linda.
Hey.
Hi, Linda.
I was wondering if you ever notice her mom and dad try to keep her from getting angry. They
constantly switch the phone back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
To calm her down every time she went to get angry.
They can tell when
she... Oh, yeah, they knew exactly. That's what I'm saying. That's what I said earlier. She knows how to work them.
Mm-hmm.
But yet they know her, too, and they do everything they can to keep her from getting upset.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, their poor little daughter is going to get upset, heaven forbid. I mean,
Cindy will say, don't get mad,
right.
Casey.
Yeah.
Don't get mad.
I think
and every time she did, like if Cindy had the phone and she was fixing a block, she'd say, here's your dad. And whenever she did it with him, here's your mom. I mean, they went back and forth with the phone. Every time she'd go and get mad, they'd stop it and go back to the other one with it.
And did you hear her say, it was almost at the end of the tape, she said, tell Zenaida that I forgive her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She forgives her. Who could forgive somebody like that? That just doesn't make a bit of sense either.
Zenaida don't even exist. Well,
no,
she does, but not.
unless she's got another vision of Zenaida that, you know, that we're not seeing.
The demon in her head.
Yeah, probably so. I don't know.
I think her parents placate her and try to let her not get angry because they're fearful that she's going to hang up the phone and they're so desperate for any piece of information from her.
Exactly.
Try anything to keep her talking in the hope that she'll say something that will be the truth.
Well,
and
in the video, she did threaten to walk off, and she tells her, please don't, please don't. But, I mean, you can only bow down to them for so long.
I think when she told them to hold on a minute and she moved her head over to the side, I think she was laughing at them. I think she was laughing at her mother. Because
well,
when she
possible.
Comes back into the screen, she starts laughing again.
And that's very possible. She said she had to, was trying to get them to turn the sound up or something.
Yeah.
But and there's no telling. She said something right at the beginning. Somebody, I read a comment, somebody had said something about something she'd said at the beginning. So I went back and I listened to it a couple of times, and it really does. I can't remember the exact words, but something like that she makes me sick, I can feel it, or something like that.
And she also said that her mom, she said, what are you crying for?
Yeah, that's when she sat down. She asked George, why is she crying already?
Yeah, why is she crying already? And she had this big, huge smile on her face.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when her face left the screen. And it was like, you know, I was watching this, and I'm like, she's laughing. That she turned her head so she could do this big laugh, and then she comes back and she's smiling. But she was acting like she was getting someone to turn the thing up.
Yeah, that's possible. I guess
I just think she's totally evil, and she thinks she has everyone fooled. And you know, people are not stupid. They can see through what she's doing, and evidently she thinks they can.
I suspect that the only person that she has succeeded in fooling is herself.
Mm-hmm.
It's not
exactly
clear to me that even George and Cindy buy into the story 100%.
They do. They try, but then again, you can see right through them.
When I look at Cindy's face on the screen, I've watched this a lot, she's got this look on her face. Like, I know you're lying to me.
Uh-huh.
But then she plays the game with her.
Yeah, she can't say you're lying.
Right.
I mean, she doesn't want to say because she's afraid that Casey's going to throw her fit and quit talking completely then.
Yeah.
But, I mean, what about all those times that they had her at home after that? I mean, at one time the reporter said, asked her, what do you talk to Casey about after she got her home? And she said, did she talk about Kaylee? And she said, oh, I don't even mention it to her because I don't want to upset her. I'm like, wait a minute.
She never mentioned Kaylee's name this whole time.
I said, well, wait a minute. Isn't that what the purpose of getting her out of jail was to begin with, is to try to help find Kaylee? And then she goes and tells reporters that she doesn't mention Kaylee because she doesn't want to upset her daughter.
See?
I said, that just doesn't make a bit of sense. And they get away with all this. I don't understand how they get away with all this.
Well, you know what? We may not know how bad the girl really has fits. I mean, what we saw on this tape might not even be an inkling into what she is capable of doing. And
well,
that's what
she very
is true. Capable is of doing is killing her daughter.
Exactly.
And that has got to be very, very bad. And,
yeah,
and, you know, another thing she said on there, I have not been this angry in 30 days. So, you know, we really don't know how angry she can get because that's the first time I've really seen the girl act like that.
Well, yeah, she doesn't show her emotions very much, but that's probably why she said that the press is going to have a field day with that video.
Exactly.
She said she hasn't been angry.
It wasn't going to be shown.
In 30 days?
She hasn't been angry in 30 days.
What was the date that she said that? The 25th?
That was on that video, the last
video.
On this
video that was just released. I don't remember.
Yeah,
count back 30 days. Is that the day they think that Kaylee died?
No, it was the day that they called the police.
Oh, so she hasn't been angry since they called the police.
That she has not
been
angry in 30 days.
All that time she was in jail.
All the time
she's
been in jail,
she's been calm
and cool, collected. Almost like
she
likes jail. It's almost like she's scared to be out of jail. And I even wondered if she is afraid that her mother might kill her.
I don't know. I don't think Casey is afraid of anything.
No, I just think that maybe she calmed down in jail and decided that Jose Baez is going to get her out of there.
Well, she puts everything,
yeah,
all the trust all in.
Yeah, she thinks she's going to get out of the house.
Oh, yeah, she thinks that this dream team is going to get her off. But like you said, she's just a run-of-the-mill child killer. Look at all of them. They're all doing life in prison without parole.
Okay, I'm going to interrupt again. Boy, I'm the world's worst host.
No, you're not.
I am going to introduce a new caller, someone coming in from area code 308. What's your question and or what's your comment?
Hello, everyone. It's Brian.
Hey,
yeah,
Brian.
You didn't call last week.
Brian, we missed you.
I listened to last week. I didn't want to call in last week, but this week I'm definitely here because I do believe we are, forgive me how I say this, but she's a black-hearted witch.
Yes.
Well, we agree with you.
That's exactly what this girl is. I cannot stand her at all. I had to turn off that jailhouse tape.
Yeah.
This was all me.
Well,
this
I had to listen to it. I had to watch it. Go ahead.
At the end, I'm the victim.
Yeah, that's what she said. She thinks she's the victim, that's for sure. Also, there was something else that I caught in the tape, too, is whenever they mention Jose being in New York, she tells them, yeah, he's there for a few days on business for her. And they start talking about it, and Cindy tells her that while he's gone, she could always turn to Dominique and as a person for her to talk to while Jose's gone. And could that be, I mean, is that, does anybody know if that she met Dominic Casey at the time?
Wow.
The private investigator?
Remember when Cindy said, I let Casey talk to her. I mean, yeah, he talked to her. Remember that? Don't you remember that video where she said that I let Dominic Casey talk to her once?
Okay, so they were really pretty close then, apparently. She must have
I
felt
think
like
so.
That she could really talk to him. Because I caught that, and that's the first time I'd heard that. So.
Okay, Brian. Seeing as I...
Kind of, wondered what you guys thought of Geraldo last night, if you watched it.
I didn't see it. I don't watch Geraldo. I refuse to watch Geraldo.
Not unless his face is getting smashed. I'm just kidding.
I don't like him.
Conway was on there, and they said they have more proof that Kronk went to that site more than he's saying. But I don't believe that. I don't know, and the investigators were at the house. Because if you watch Greta the night before, she was talking about how, I mean, she asked Cindy why she was so down, and the investigators were at the house, and she was shaking her head. So I don't know if they called the investigators or the investigators went there themselves.
This was after Kronk reported it, you mean?
Yeah, well, see, I don't know if they called the investigators to tell them that they have more information on Kronk being there more than the days he's saying that he was there, or if the investigators came over and talked to them about it.
Is it Padilla saying all this?
Actually, Brian, seeing as you've been following this story for quite some time, I want to ask you a question. It's clear that that us little folks at Blogger News Network are obviously getting noticed by the big dogs. In fact, Fox News's Gleda Van Susteren linked to us in one of her articles. Najem, what about Najem representing Tim Miller? Is this an obvious conflict of interest?
You know,
I don't think so.
You know, he left the Anthonys. He left the Anthonys. He chose to leave the Anthonys. So I don't see why it's such a big deal. I mean, anybody can hire him after that.
That's right. He's free to go wherever he wants.
And after the way they treated Tim, after everything they said about Tim, Cindy called him a drunk and just bad-mouthing him and they shouldn't be there. I don't know.
I don't think he
can have anybody he wants.
I don't see any problem with where he's at. I mean, he wanted to go. Well, he was in with Tim Miller anyway because Tim then was holding meetings or something at one of his buildings before. So
Najem said, I'm sorry.
It's okay. Go ahead.
Well, Najem said I remember reading an article where he said he was in it for looking for an alive Kaylee and a dead Kaylee.
Right.
No matter whether she was alive or dead, he wanted to find her.
Right.
But he couldn't stay any longer because they were insisting she was alive.
Right. They would say it wouldn't let him go with whichever way he was going with it. And he wasn't comfortable with that.
He also said that there was 1 in 6 million people or whatever who know what happened to Kaylee, and that's her mother.
Yeah. Yeah, well, apparently he knows a little bit more than what we know.
You know, I think it's great that he's with Tim, because, you know, if she's found guilty in a court of law for murdering her daughter and whatever, I think that Tim Miller might have a good case against them for him having to go out and do all that at their beck and call.
Especially to prove that Cindy and George knew for a fact that she was dead.
Because
he spent he's broke now.
Isn't that just the kicker? Because they might walk away from this clean, and I'm sorry, but I think they're all liars. I think it's all a big scam.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, he's going to be the one that's going to be in the hole, and they're going to be the ones that's going to rake in the money from the movies and all that kind of stuff that they're going to want.
Their T-shirts and bracelets.
Hello?
Right, yeah, T-shirts and bracelets.
Oh, let's come back to that part. In the meantime, let's find out what our caller from area code 407 has to say. What's your name and what's your question?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, my name is Jennifer. How you doing?
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi. I live here in Orlando. I'm just 15 minutes from the Anthony's house. And I heard the last call, I think it was Brian.
Uh-huh.
mentioning about Greta. She was here on Saturday, and she actually went to the Anthony's house, and she spoke to their lawyer. And the law enforcement was at their house on Saturday. The lawyer wouldn't say what it was about, but they were there.
At the Anthony's home?
Yes, on Saturday. Yes.
While Greta was there?
Yes. I don't know if it was exactly when she was. She was there. She did see them. And she asked him, does it have to do with the murder case? And he said, no. And she said, okay. But he couldn't actually say what it was about. He wouldn't give any info.
Huh.
So I don't know.
So they were there another time.
I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
What's that memorial like?
Oh, I've been there twice already. It's unbelievable. I mean, people have come from all over. From Trinidad, Bermuda, just everywhere.
Is it very far from the road?
It's off the road, isn't it?
It's right off the road, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, as soon as you turn off Hope Spring, you make a right, and it's just right there.
So many people have come for her and come together because of her. And, you know, I know that it doesn't happen for a lot of other children in this situation, but, you know, yeah, I just think that it's wonderful. People from all around the world are coming together just to love this child who obviously had nobody in her true life to love her or protect her.
And I think that's why it's touched so many people, because normally, you know, a normal family, you know, they would be wanting justice for their, you know, their granddaughter.
Right.
Regardless of if it was their kid.
Exactly. And it seems like they're just, you know, protecting Casey. That's all it's become.
I mean,
they're
protecting themselves. Stand by your child, but at the same time, you have to draw a line there, you know.
I think
exactly.
There has to be that line drawn to where how far you can stand by him.
Right.
You can stand by him, tell him, okay, well, I'm here, and I will come visit you and all this, but, you know, you've done wrong.
You
can't condone them for something that they've done wrong like that. You can't continue that.
I think they're protecting themselves.
I guess a neighbor of the Anthony's, did Fox arrive en masse, or was just Greta and a couple of guys?
No, it was Greta who came, and she actually went to the Anthony's. She actually spoke to Jose Baez on the same day. Yeah, she actually went to Cast Iron Tattoos, too, where she got her tattoo during that month, and she interviewed them.
Okay, Someone
had made mention on one of the blogs that I go to today that there were testing her bones for, what was it, some sort of disease when you're born, abnormal disease when you're born. I can't remember. He said it on the Greta show that night, and that's why they had her bones. Genetic disease or something like that?
And who was testing it, though? Like, was that, like, the reason why it's still sitting in a box on a shelf? That's just ridiculous. That's Casey. That's all Casey. Because I heard that her bias had... She signed him over the remains for the second autopsy.
Yeah.
And I have not heard anything about that, the body being signed over to Cindy or George or whoever. And that's all Casey. That's all her. She's never going to give that child the satisfaction of a proper burial. And if she does, she's probably going to make it her be cremated and thrown to the wind.
Yeah.
She's in control. That's her last display of power is that body.
And if I remember right, I think he said the second autopsy hasn't been done yet.
Henry Lee said it was.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm talking about. But I'm pretty sure he said that night it still hasn't been done.
No.
And also, Brian, I'm sorry.
It's okay. Go ahead.
You mentioned about the meter man being in the area more than he mentioned.
Yeah,
that's actually true.
Really?
The local news here actually did a little investigation of their own and said that they looked to see his route, and he came there back the end of August and in November.
And
they actually interviewed his lawyer Kronk's lawyer and asked him, why didn't he go back then, you know, the end of August or November? And his lawyer said, oh, it just wasn't in his mind at that time.
There's so much weird stuff in this whole case.
Yeah, and he and Kronk keeps changing his story, you know, and it's just, I honestly believe that he was tipped off to go there.
Okay.
I mean,
and on that subject, headline news, our very good friend Nancy Grace has been entertaining our favorite bounty hunter, Len Padilla, for months. I mean, his conspiracy theories are ludicrous, but entertaining. You know, he'd have us convinced that the meter reader Kronk is in bed with the Anthonys and was employed to, quote, discover evidence. I mean, where does this come from? You know, who's got anything to gain by this?
Right. He had said something I read that Tim Miller said, that him and Tim Miller's little battle, that I have a bone to pick with him. He said that Tim Miller could be the one holding up Kaylee's skull. Imagine the money they could make off of that. I believe everything he says comes from the side of his mouth.
Yeah.
I agree.
I mean, I couldn't believe it. I used to really like him and support him, the fact that he was looking for Kaylee and he was, you know, he revoked her bond. That, you know, that's pretty cool. But hearing him say that about them finding her and to keep searching so that Tim Miller can hold her skull up for the nation, that the world could see, that is like, that's the most horrible thing I've ever heard anybody this whole time say besides what her stupid mom says.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna break in once again and just give our dial-in number because we definitely want to hear from you. So pick up that telephone and dial area code 646-378-1120. We definitely want to hear what you have to think about this case.
Jennifer from Florida,
yeah.
Do you know how far the abandoned house that was on the video of Dominic Casey making the search, do you know how far away the abandoned house is from the Anthony home?
From what I heard, it's very close. That's from the news. The local news media here actually went to the house the other day, and it's very close. Not walking distance, you know,
right.
But it's very close. And that's another thing I wanted to touch on about the PI being there in November.
Yes, go ahead.
Yes. That is what got me. You know, when that came out, that's what made me question everybody, you know, including Kronk, because it's just too much coincidental, you know. I mean, I don't know.
He's at the crime scene poking a stick into the ground, throwing stuff around, looking for stuff. He shouldn't have been there.
Exactly.
And the news reported that house was owned by someone by the name of Hernan Gonzalez.
Yes.
Right, and the next-door plot is owned by a Zenaida.
Zenaida somebody.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they said. That's what we heard, anyway.
You don't
think
Kronk?
It all revolves around the name Zenaida for Casey. She has got that name, and she is sticking to it. And nothing is going to take her away from that name. Her whole case rides on that fictitious broad named Zenaida Gonzalez.
Mm-hmm.
I just find the coincidence amazing that
it is.
The woman who went to visit the Sawgrass Apartments to apply for an apartment was named Zenaida Gonzalez. And then you find this house that's abandoned by their home, owned by someone named Hernan Gonzalez. Someone once said, I think it was Padilla who said, she pulls these bits of reality, these names that she hears, these stories that she hears, and crafts them into this unbelievable tale.
Exactly.
To throw everyone off of the fact that she committed a murder and now cannot even, in respect for her daughter, own up to what she did and just be a good human being and say, I was angry, or I made a mistake, or I am a horrible person, I did this, and I'm sorry.
She never will do that.
She'll still sit in prison, though, so she's going to try not to do that, you know?
When Casey was home, did you go out and stand in front of the house when the protesters were there, or did you?
No.
Oh, I took no part in that, if you're asking me.
Well, I just wondered.
Oh, no, I was not, you know, I'm not one of those people who want to get on the news and all that and just be there. I didn't have any part in that, but like I said, I did go where the remains were found and pay my respect, and, you know, it's very sad.
But you didn't know any of them, huh?
Of the Anthonys?
Yeah.
No.
It didn't get a huge amount of press, but what about Deputy Richard Kane? He's been removed from uniform duty,
mm-hmm.
I believe, pending an investigation of his supposed lackluster interest in following up on Kronk's August tip. Anyone got any comments on that?
Yeah. I mean, he was given an order, and everybody says, oh, it was by the book or whatever. No, he could have got out, shot that stupid snake in the head, and went and looked further into seeing if Kaylee's body was there. But he didn't want to get his gloves dirty, didn't want to get his shoes dirty, and didn't even put any effort into finding her. Oh.
No, I think I don't know if he had anything to do with it. I don't know. Who knows? He might have known Casey. You never know.
Oh, I'm sure Padilla would would love to drag him in. Yeah, he'd be part of the entire conspiracy theory.
I just think it was lack of motivation on that cop's behalf, and I think that they're just putting so much attention on it because it's never them, it's never the Anthonys, and it's never Casey. It's always everybody else.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I've noticed that from the beginning.
Even the littlest mistake is like, it's their fault Kaylee's dead. It's their fault Zenaida had her so long. It's their fault the ladder was up at the pool. I mean, they can't even get their,
Does anyone have any thoughts on who Dominic Casey was on the phone with when he was making that search? Because, you know, there is a psychic that has claimed from Virginia that she was the one on the phone. And I truly believe that if they're able to find out who he was on the phone with that morning, clearly directing him where to go and what to look for specifically, I think that that might be a huge break in the case. Who was he talking to?
Well, we don't know yet, but it sounds to me like he was, I mean, my thoughts is that he's probably either talking to Lee or one of the Baez team.
Mm-hmm.
Because
supposedly it was a psychic.
Well, the psychic can't. She's saying that her phone bill does not show the phone call.
Then that's a lie.
A psychic should be able to know the phone number. That's what they're employed
to
do.
That's very true.
Okay, let's bring in a couple of new callers. We have someone coming in from, I'm absolutely not sure where. It just showed up as all ones.
Yeah, it's a Yahoo call. I've been following y'all and following y'all's blog on BNN for a while. I'm the guy who goes by Goldfishy.
Oh, hi there.
Hi, Goldfishy.
Hi, how y'all doing?
Good.
Really and honestly, I've been listening. This is the first show I've actually listened to. I've been following on the blog for a couple weeks. I stumbled on y'all, and I think y'all are great. From what I just now caught on the show, the speculation, all the stuff, who he's talking to and stuff like that, I mean, I actually set up one of the first digital phone networks in this country down where I live, a company called Primeco, and there is nothing that's not recorded on that kind of stuff. I think if law enforcement really was concerned with who he was talking to, they don't care. They know they've got their baby killer in jail, and that's the case they're trying to make. I mean, we have fun speculating and playing around the web and guessing all these guessing games, but law enforcement is just they're not concerned about it. They've got who they want. And the damn Anthonys aren't going to have a normal life no matter what happens for the rest of their God-given lives. And law enforcement's just like, hey, let's leave it alone. Let the defense play all their stupid games, throw all the stupid stuff out there. But we've got our person, and that's what they're focused on. Like I said, I have fun speculating on it as much as everybody else does, but I think law enforcement just is focused on, we've got our killer, just leave everything else alone.
Oh, I think you have hit the nail on the head. Law enforcement are not the people, quote, leaking stuff to the press. You know,
I know, they're being very silent.
Right. I mean, law enforcement are quietly getting their game together, and when it hits the court, it's going to hit mighty hard. You
right.
know, the only people that have anything to gain are by discrediting law enforcement. And so far, I'd say...
They've made fools of themselves trying to do it.
Right, yeah, exactly. I mean, this is pointless. It's boring.
Does anyone have any thoughts on who's paying for all of these experts that are part of her defense?
Oh, what a great question.
I think
they're like gamblers. They're gamblers who are like hoping this thing turns out that it makes them seem like big winners and, oh, we got this person off, but it's not going to happen.
They're claiming they're doing it pro bono, but I don't believe these big, high-powered ones would do it.
Pro bono on the hopes that they win their case and they get to write lots of books and get lots of picture deals. They're going to make themselves
look
stupid.
Right. If they win.
Right, if they win, which is...
They
all got on. You got to remember, they all got on except for the guy in Canada. They all got on before a body was found.
Mm-hmm.
And they were all thinking, oh, we're going to roll the dice and see if we can't win big on this one. Notice how they shut up once the body was found. They shut up. They were
That's
just like, oh, no.
You're right.
Yeah. They were like, oh, no, we just now stuck our foot in it. Yeah. They're not going to hurt me from losing this case, but they know they were like gamblers. They were playing a high-stakes game.
Okay. And we have someone coming in from 620. What's your question and comment?
Oh, this is Sheller again.
Hey. Hi,
Sheller. I do think that Kronk, after three times calling the police, probably said, well, they must not have found anything. And so he didn't actually call until he was back in that area and stumbled upon it. There's a limit to how many days you'll call in a row and have them not do anything.
But I wonder why he didn't call EquiSearch. I wonder why he didn't try to call someone else. If I really
I wonder about that too. I wonder why he didn't participate. Yeah.
Or at least make the phone call to someone else if he felt that he wasn't his call in wasn't being investigated or he wasn't satisfied with the police department knowing that they were getting something like 5,000 tips. I think I would have called EquiSearch. I would have called someone else. There were so many people involved in the beginning, the psychics with the cadaver dogs, EquiSearch. There were certainly other.
Yeah.
I think I would have continued to call until someone listened to me.
Yeah.
If I had that gut feeling that that was it, I would have too.
I think he was like somebody who was stumbling on something and he didn't really know it was there and he was calling in tips. And until he actually got, I hate to say it, he just got frustrated and balls up enough to go walk right directly up to where the bones were scattered. He just didn't have anything else to say other than there's trash bags there. And you got to remember, this is a place where, like, stoner kids party and stuff like that. There's probably all kinds of trash around there. Until he just got frustrated enough that he actually walked up on it, I think all he was doing was calling in just vague tips and going, look, y'all ought to look here. I think until he actually saw something, like maybe the bags were open, he was like, oh, no, I know I'm looking at something. You got to remember, whoever dumped that body, they did it good enough that it was hid for 8 months, okay?
Right.
They had it wrapped up pretty damn well. It survived searches because they searched the area before it was flooded, and all they thought they found was trash.
Yeah.
They were already out there before it was flooded. I hate that people ride that guy. I do have a sneaking suspicion that somebody might have told him a little bit more than we know about it, but I think he was doing the right thing. I think it came down to there finally having to be something visual more than like it looking like party kids trash that it finally came to a head. I think it was well hidden.
Okay, I'm going to break in once again. I want to try and get in as many callers as I can. We have someone from the 734 area code. What's your name and what's your question for us?
Hi, it's Pammy Liz.
Hi, Pammy.
Hey. I know you were all just talking about Kronk. Hi. And I'm still suspicious of him, but did anybody ever think that when they say he was tipped off, that maybe he was just that somebody had known he called the tip line, which would be the defense side, and somebody just anonymously called his house, and then maybe he answered, and they're like, hey, go look here. You know, that's my thinking on my... Huh?
I don't think law enforcement would have given the information. That tip line, the defense's tip line wasn't set up.
That's what I was wondering, too. Would that be released, the tip line, to the defense?
I don't think the sheriff's office would have cooperated with them like that. They already, like I said, knew they had their killer. They wouldn't have cooperated with the defense like that. They would have no reason.
Well, I think the reason why Baez is subpoenaing Tim Miller's information is the person that videotaped Dominic Casey, he actually did participate in the EquiSearch, and he wrote that tip to EquiSearch, and he participated in the search.
That's interesting.
So there's definitely, you know, in November when that videotape was made, it kind of seems like the PI doing the videotaping was somewhat a rogue in his actions because he also searched with EquiSearch. And there is a form that he filled out for that tip.
That wasn't Dominic Casey, though. It was the other one, right?
It was the one filmed in October. Yeah, that is interesting. That is interesting.
But my other question, why is Najami, however you pronounce that, why is Tim Miller needing an attorney now? I lost that whole part of the story.
Oh, because Baez is trying to get his records.
Right.
Of all of
right.
his
he's trying to get his records. He's trying to get... He's trying to get him turn over like 4,000 people, random people. I mean, there's no reason why he should have to do it. Those are 4,000 caring people. I mean, why should their lives? What they're looking for is they're looking for a dirty person in that 4,000 people to sit there and go, aha, and they ain't got it, and they're not gonna get that. And I'm actually surprised the prosecution isn't after that. That's why I'm glad that Jamie got on his side and said, you know what, you don't have to do this, and we're going to make sure you don't have to do this. Good people out there searching, in any case, should not be, you know, I don't care. I've got a DUI on my record, and if somebody in my area disappeared, I'd be damn sure I'd be out there searching, and I would not want some scumbag like Baez getting into my personal life,
right.
You know?
Exactly.
It's just a tactic. It's a tactic. It's work, basically. They're talking.
Pretty soon we're going to see Pat Padilla with his own attorney next. Everybody's going to have an attorney.
They're going to have to because it's so high profile. Everybody's got to have somebody as a mouthpiece. Somebody who says you can and can't say these things because they might make you look bad. It's sad, but that's just the way the justice system is now. You know,
that's
once
true.
Something
I don't know
becomes
where
so high profile that you're on the TV every day, you can't slip up, you can't put your foot in your mouth, you can't even necessarily express how you really, really feel because you might say the wrong thing and somebody might attack you for it.
Well, you know, it may not be actually the wrong thing, but the defense team will twist it around to where it will be.
Exactly. Somebody will take it wrong and
try to
use it
to
their advantage.
They twist it around to make it look wrong.
I don't think any of it's going to work. She's going down. I have no doubt about it, you know. I mean, I will be shocked like I was with OJ, but, I mean,
OJ was a different thing. She's nothing special. It's not like she has a history of helping
people. That's what I said. She's just another murderer.
She's nothing special. She's just a murderer.
She's a wannabe.
OJ had a past history in the American eye that people just didn't want to shake. Some of those people on the jury just didn't want to shake, and the defense team twisted everything back towards, hey, man, this is this good guy who's helped out. He had a great career, blah, 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 and he helped out people after he was done. They didn't want to see him as murderer, but, I mean, her, no, she's nothing special, and she just looks like a party girl who just wanted something new to do with her life and had baggage and sadly got rid of it.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I find it so interesting that Mark Najim handed over $5,000 to Kronk
Now, he's representing Tim Miller, and we all know that EquiSearch is suffering financially. If an attorney wanted to make a donation, I think that's bizarre to begin with. And secondly, if he wanted to give over $5,000, why wouldn't he have donated it to EquiSearch? I just think it's so strange.
I think that was the original. Wasn't that the original reward money?
That's
when the James
from,
made working for the Anthonys was $5,000 for his service.
And he wants to give it to
Kronk as a reward for finding Kaylee.
I think it's cool.
He might be feeling
guilty for like working for the Anthonys because he knew they knew something about it from the start. He might
but
just
isn't
be saying,
Kronk,
you know, I don't want the blood money.
You know, because show her.
I hate that the focus is on Kronk because I just don't think the guy's dirty. I mean, he might have gotten inside information, but I think he was just basically sitting there going on hunches.
Everybody in this case is going to have their own book someday, and Kronk will too. You know, and the title will be, you know, I'm the one that found, you know, Kaylee Anthony, and he'll have.
I would be real surprised if he did that. I'd be real surprised if he done that because once he got to say his piece nationally, you have not heard from him since. I don't think he wants anything to do with the whole interview.
I think he was part of it.
I think he was torn. I mean, he did not want to sacrifice his anonymity. He didn't want to be on TV. I saw him on Good Morning America.
Yeah, but he did also didn't. He also didn't want people like getting, you know, subpoenaing him and questioning him. He's like, I have to say my piece. I have to say my piece and be done, and then he disappeared since then.
It was probably bad enough.
I don't think there's any blame on him.
Okay, I'm going to break in here. I think we have another caller, although I might have messed up the switchboard. We have someone coming in from 251. What's your name and what's your question?
Hey, this is Linda again. I've just been listening, and I had a question. Wouldn't you just love to see Baez's face when he looks at this tape?
He's probably going to throw a fit for sure if he hasn't already. Because he
I would love to see a little fly on the wall.
He said she wasn't even supposed to be talking to him.
And the thing about Funk, you know, he could have called the fire department.
Well,
there are so many things. If I was standing there,
and there was a child missing
in the area, and
I could not have even continued on with my work day.
No, I would have gotten someone there immediately.
It would have bothered me. It would have bothered me.
Even if it had been some more people, you know, in the area, and stand there with me until I got law enforcement or fire department or whoever. Even an ambulance.
The first time we heard that he didn't kick it or look at it, and then he just called. And then I heard other things that he did kick it and saw the skull initially. So you're not going to just go on for months having that in your mind that you saw possibly a body in a bag. I would be telling everybody. I would be calling friends and everybody
at
my work.
The thing is, everyone knew a child was missing. Everyone in the whole area knew that the child was missing. So if you see something and you don't do anything about it.
Well, that's like with the Kaylee sightings at the mall. Somebody took a picture of a little girl but didn't have the balls to go up and say, Kaylee Anthony, is that you? Who's with you? Come show me your mommy, Kaylee. They have the nerve to take a picture of some random child.
That was the defense. I mean, it's the same thing.
Honestly, I mean.
It doesn't look like Kaylee to me, though.
But still,
if they hadn't found the body, we'd be still seeing those hats still.
Exactly.
Okay, folks, we are within 1 minute of going off air. I think that was Pickles that said, oh, poo. But that's the way it happens. So, quick wrap-up. Jan, two words.
What do you mean, two words?
Oh, that's your two words. You know what I mean?
Thanks, Simon and Jan.
The only thing I can say is let's just hope that justice will be served and Kaylee will be finally laid to rest like she should be.
Exactly.
I mean, she's the one that this is all about. And it's not about Casey. It's not about Cindy or George or Lee or anybody else, not even Jose Baez. But It should.
Unfortunately,
it's all about Kaylee.
Yeah.
And she needs to be laid to rest properly, and they need to just let the child rest.
I want to really thank everyone that called in and participated in this definitely lively discussion.
Well, thank you. It's been great listening, too.
Yep,
thank you.
Likely we will be doing it next weekend.
Thank
again.
You all for calling.
Yep.
Thank you. Bye.
This is Jen.
Thank you for
Raymond Barrett.
Thank you for your blogs.
This is Jen.
Bye, everyone.
Jen.
Bye.
Simon Barrett saying goodbye and have a wonderful day.